stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Where is it? Where's the hammer? Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop Cyrus. The hammering.
You heard the man, Cyrus. Stop the hammering. All right, he stopped. Good. Welcome back. This is Patrick Madrid. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Just because I want to revisit briefly, then we're going to go to the phone. So those of you who are holding, thank you for your patience. At the very end of the last segment, I played, well, Cyrus technically played for you, audio of a black lady who's giving a seminar, a conference of some sort, teaching critical race theory to a room full of adults who are mostly white from what I can see on the video. And we'll post this for you so you can see it yourself. You can see everything we talk about, book recommendations, video clips, articles, etc., on the show Twitter feed. But it's easy to access by going to relevantradio.com/Patrick. Everything is there, and you'll find it there at your fingertips. So this will be posted if it hasn't already been. And she's speaking to this group of adults. And listen to some of the outlandish nonsense, the deeply, offensively racist nonsense coming out of her mouth. And she also, she kind of laughs here and there, almost like, I can't believe I got away with that. I can't believe I just said that you're not even human, she says at one point, referring to white people. White people are not really born human. White people are demons, she says in another point. And you hear this sort of nervous laugh, when she says some of this stuff, because it seems to me that she's saying to herself, I can't believe I just got away with saying that. And nobody is pushing back at me. So anyway, here's the clip. It's not very long, maybe 30 seconds. But the reason I'm playing it for you, somebody asked, a friend of mine asked me recently, he says, is it possible that a lot of people just really don't care about critical race theory? And my answer was, well, they better start caring. If you don't care about it now, you will later. And if you don't care about it now, you need to start caring about this problem, because it's not going away. It's going to get worse, and it will affect not only your children. And you may say, well, I don't have any kids in school. I'm an empty nester. So what? Still going to affect you. And it will affect you in ways, whether you are black or white, doesn't matter. It's going, but especially if you are white, it's going to affect you in more and more pernicious ways that you probably can't even begin to imagine. I think that's probably true for most of us. And if you don't believe me, listen to this.
All white people are racist. Any white person in the room to know up front that this is what we're dealing with, that it's not going to be this coddling of white tears and what that looks like. We're not going to discuss, oh, maybe some of us have worked it out. No, you're always going to be racist, actually. So even when you're on your path to trying to figure out how to be a better human being, because I believe that white people are born into not being human, like that actually, instead of people of color and black folks.
Keep it going.
Not being human, like that actually, instead of people of color and black folks being dehumanized, that actually everyone is dehumanized off rip within white supremacy, that y'all are born into a life to not be human, and that's what y'all are taught to do, to be demons. So in this particular way, white so people funny. Are all racist. So I just want y'all to know that up front.
Wow. I mean, the first time I saw that, which is months and months ago now, I thought this could be a Saturday Night Live skit, but they would never do that as a skit. This could be from The Onion, or this could be from some other satirical comedy-related outlet, but this is not comedy. And the woman who's speaking is deadly serious about what she's saying. And please understand this. She's representative of a very large group of people, very powerful, well-organized, well-funded, and they have this agenda, and they are not going to let loose of it. And the only way, it seems to me, to deal with this problem, this rising tide of racism masquerading as anti-racism, and all the mumbo-jumbo, and all of the code words that they use to try to browbeat you into, regardless of your skin color, it doesn't matter. They want to browbeat you into submission. and force you to go along with their agenda, or at least not oppose it. If you don't care about this yet, please start caring about it, because this is not going to go away. And I would not want to look back a year or two or five later or at the end of my life and say, how come I had an opportunity to help raise consciousness about this pernicious evil in our midst and I didn't do anything about it and I didn't talk about it. I wish I had talked. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to look back with regrets. So that's the reason for sharing some of these ugly things with you. Not because I like sharing ugly things with you, but because it'll get a whole lot uglier if you and other good people don't stand up against it. You know what I'm saying? Can I get an amen? Let's go to Lisa on line six. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. What is your thought?
You know, my thought is you cannot teach love with hatred. And so when you're trying to educate people on racism and the color of skin and supremacy and you know, power and authority, you can't stand and tell them, oh, well, you know, you're white and you're always going to be a racist. There was so much hate in that second message and so much insulting and degrading and belittling. And you don't teach that. You don't teach love and equality with hateful remarks.
If I can interject, let me interject something. See, your premise is correct. I agree with you, but that's not what they want to teach. They don't want to teach love and respect. Their goal is to punish, to silence, to cow into submission the people that they see as their enemies, their obstacles. They're not interested in love. They're not interested in reconciliation. They're not interested in racial harmony. They seek to fan the flames of racial harmony under the disguise of being anti-racist. But it's a form of racism. It's not based upon love and kindness and let's all get along. That's not what they want. You see what I'm saying? I agree with you. All I'm saying is that that's not what they're after. They are after something entirely different from what you and I would agree on.
You're absolutely correct. You are. And I agree with you because they themselves are racist with the remarks that they're saying. They're showing their racism.
Right.
And you just can't generalize and put everybody in that same category because their skin is white.
Right. Dr. Martin Luther King, in his I Have a Dream speech, what he said is considered terrible by their standards. He says, I dream of a country. I'm just saying this from memory. I might get it wrong here or there. But I dream of a world my children can live in where people are judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That goes exactly against the dictates of critical race theory. Their whole thing is you got to judge everybody by their skin color, not by the content of their character. And these white people who may be nice, too bad. They're racist because they're white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. Well,
isn't it sad? Isn't it strange?
Yeah, it is.
Well, thanks for listening in any case. I appreciate it. And thanks for calling in. This is an important topic. I'm glad you called in today, Lisa. Thank you.
You know, Patrick, we played two pieces of audio, one from the woman saying, you know, all white people are born racist and they're like white devils.
Right.
And then we played audio
of demons.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. And then we played audio of the parent who's talking to the school board. Mm-hmm. And talking about his personal experience. And even though the short audio of the woman is kind of like shock, it's like, I cannot believe I'm even hearing this. I think it's the rational, calm voice of the parent that is even more important for us to be listening to.
That is so true. That's why anytime we can bring those voices to the fore, we seek to do that. So that's a good point, Cyrus. We want to bring the voices of reason and calm and logic to the discussion. And so anytime you can find that for me, or anytime we can find that for you, all of you listening, we're going to do that. Now, I want to pivot on that, and thanks for that information, Cyrus. I want to pivot on that and just remind you of one of the tools that's available to you. It's written by Christopher Rufo, R-U-F-O. He's the he wrote this for Imprimis. I'm not sure how they would pronounce it, but this is a publication from Hillsdale College. And is there a connection that I have with Hillsdale? Not really, not in any direct way, although I do. One of my sons is just starting his PhD program there in political philosophy. So that's the only connection I have with them. But other than that, there's no connection. But this is a very important resource for you to be aware of. It is a document on critical race theory, what it is and how you fight it. And there is, how can I describe this? It's a PDF, and it covers, by way of quoting, many different examples from the key players in the critical race theory in terms of their books and things like that. And if you're interested in getting more up to speed on this and understanding how you can respond to it, how to recognize it, what can you say, I really encourage you to get a hold of this. And we'll post a link to it again on the show Twitter feed. It's very comprehensive, and it's not spin. It's not being filtered through the lens of somebody's ideology. These are direct quotes, and many of them, not just a few, but many, many direct quotes from key people who are advancing this critical race theory. And then in addition to those things, it also offers you tools on how you can respond to it in a polite but vigorous way. We always want to be polite. We want to be respectful. We want to be charitable, obviously, but you have to be firm. And if you're not aware of what's going on, and if you don't have the tools, you're not going to be in a position to be able to help people, starting with your own children. If your kids are, I don't know, junior high school age and above, you should be sharing this with them so that they've got something to go into the classroom with. Otherwise, they're going to get mown down by this ideology. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Mike in St. Augustine, Florida. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing today? Oh, sorry, I wasn't supposed to ask that. Anyway, okay. I just think that there's been so much racism in the past, and a lot of lip service has been given to that, and like, okay, nobody's racist. We're not going to be racist. We don't like that. But now all of a sudden that the black people are finding a voice, which they're not intricate on how they voice that all the time. But now all of a sudden it's a big problem. Everybody wants to be against that. Like, oh, you can't say that. When they're finally, now that we're made to feel uncomfortable, that we have to be like, oh, no, we can't deal with this.
Who is we?
Well, everybody that speaks, I mean, it's all over the news that everybody hates this critical race theory. And I'm not saying that's the best way to go about solving anything. But I think all these voices need to be heard. And I don't hear you playing any videos of the actual racists that are all over the internet also. I mean, there's...
Well, open your ears, Mike. You just heard me play it. I just played for you an example, 30, 45 seconds, of a woman doing exactly that. She's a proponent of critical race theory. You heard it on this station.
Right, absolutely. But you're not playing the actual white racist. There's millions of those videos out there, too, of actual vulgar racist people.
Oh, I see what you mean. You're talking about the white racists. Okay. Well,
yeah,
I mean, I don't want to give
racist.
Them a, I don't
racist.
Want to give them a, Mike, I don't want to give them a platform on this radio station or network for them to spout any more nonsense than they already have.
Okay, but at least speak out against it more. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
Mike, have you listened to this program at all, ever, or is this your first time?
But you go on and on and on and on about critical
question,
race
Mike.
Theory.
That was a question. Have you been listening to
the program? Yeah, I listen when I can. I listen when I can.
And I appreciate that.
I enjoy the program.
I will be the first, and I appreciate that. And I'm not here to quarrel with you, Mike, but I got to stand up for myself. I condemn racism at every turn. And as I've said many times, whether it's white racism, whether it's white racism or black racism or any other kind of racism, I decry it. And I've done so publicly on the show many times.
Right. But when's the last time you spent a whole hour speaking against white racists? You spent a whole hour speaking against critical race theory when you have these that can't voice themselves correctly.
I'll tell you why.
You know, I just feel like,
I'll tell you why. Because number one, everybody is already aware of what the KKK is and what they say and burning crosses, etc. People are already aware of that white racism that we have learned about in history and such. So there's no need to go back over that ground again and tell people something they already know. What I'm doing here is pointing out a new form of racism, which is posing as anti-racism. And this is the problem right now, is that people are made to be quiet. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to say anything about it. And I believe we should bring this out into the open and see it for what it really is. So one thing I can promise you, Mike, you'll always get from me a 100% condemnation of racism, regardless of who is perpetrating it, regardless of their skin.
Yeah,
color.
I do know that. I know that. Okay. But it just seems like it's just tilted one way. I mean, now that they're finding a voice, it might not be the perfect voice yet, but they're feeling their way, finding their voice to fight against all this. Now it's a problem because they're standing
what about
up
the
themselves.
Black? What about the black people whose voices I have played on this radio, in addition to those who are promoting critical race theory? What about those black people who are up in arms against this?
Well, of course,
this?
Obviously.
Well, hang on a second. Their voices must be heard, too, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. They should be heard. But I just, you know, it's definitely skewed to one way or the other. I mean, instead of really trying to understand what they're trying to say, you're just saying, listen to how vulgar it is what they say.
No.
Yeah, it's
that's
wrong with the way that they're
that's false, though,
themselves.
Mike. That's not true. In fact, when I read on this program a week or two ago the document I referred to a minute ago by Christopher Rufo, I spent, I don't know, many minutes quoting verbatim from some of the leading exponents of critical race theory, quoting their words. What from White Fragility and many other sources, not filtering them, but just simply quoting in their own words what they've had to say. So I've been very careful to make sure not to interpret what they're saying as opposed to simply put it out there so people know what the critical race theory people are saying. And I've referred people many times, you heard me just do it now, to go to these sources that are quoted verbatim and meticulously footnoted in documents like this so that you don't have to take my word for it. You can read it in their own words. So it's not true to say that this is skewed. I mean, if it's skewed, it's skewed because I see this for what it is. It's a form of racism, and it must be opposed. It's masquerading as anti-racism, and it must be opposed because the right thing is to do, I believe. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, at least bring in the voices that can talk intricately about it instead of people that are at a school board meeting who obviously aren't well-versed in speaking in front of people and stuff, and they say stupid things. But you got to bring in the people that can explain it better. I mean, because it's really just a legal thing. It hasn't been
You know what, though,
schools.
Mike? That seems very school, insulting you know? To people. It seems very insulting that you would say that about the black people who are expressing themselves.
Well,
are
I feel the same way
in
about
your mind
myself.
Doing that?
I'm not being very intricate on the phone right now with you. I'm not speaking perfectly. I used to say that about myself.
That's,
it's not my
that's
job.
Not
you
the
do
point,
it for
though,
a living.
Mike. Yeah, that's not the point, though, Mike. And the point is people have a right to have their voices heard, and we make an effort to make sure that that's as 360 degrees as possible. If you don't like it, if it makes you uncomfortable, I'm not sure what to tell you. But
well, that's not making me uncomfortable. I just feel frustrated about the whole thing that we can't put it all out there and get past this, and then maybe we can make progress, you know? But we've never done that as a country. We've
so
never
help me
put
out
it
here,
all
Mike.
On the line.
Help
you know?
Me out. I mean, you remember the thing called the Civil War, right, where we put it all on the line to stop slavery? You remember that part, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that part. But what happened after that? Then what? They were given what? They were all given good jobs and a house on the water? No, they all still well, it might.
They were supposed to get 40 acres and a mule.
Sir. They had,
they were
right,
supposed
in
to
your
get
lifetime, they had a drink at a different water fountain.
Listen, Mike, you don't have to lecture me on Jim Crow laws. I remember seeing some of those signs when I was a kid on a trip to the Deep South, the vestiges, the last remaining vestiges. So I'm very familiar with
that. Why
you
bring that up then?
Mike, you're the one who brought it up. You're the one who just brought this. And Mike, and I'm not sure how well our conversation is going to go from here. So I encourage you, keep listening, please, and follow up on some of the resources that I'm mentioning so that you can read with your own eyes the things that people are saying about critical race theory. That's the goal here, is to bring it all out into the light.
Very good. Have a good day.
Thanks, Mike. I welcome all comers. Whether you agree or disagree, I would welcome your commentary on the program. And we may have a disagreement, but that's okay. That's interesting if you ask me. This is one reason why the show is billed as a show that has unpredictable conversations. You never know what you're going to hear on this program. Speaking of which, you never know when we have to take a break, but I do, and we have to take one right now. So we'll take a break. We'll come right back to your phone calls, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We'll be right back right after this.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com. Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now.
All right. All right, Lunger, let's do it.
888-914-9149 is the number. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Catherine in Medford Lakes, New Jersey. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Patrick. I'm so glad there were announcements between my call and the previous call. Okay, so I was just calling because, not to address critical race theory per se, but racism in general, which is such a minefield in our country. And, you know, I've tried very hard to be, you know, get rid of bias and everything. And my husband and I had an event with our granddaughter about a couple months ago, and she's seven, and she had these little tiny plastic dolls, and she was showing them to me, to us. And the first one she picked up was a little black doll. And she said, his name is Brownie. And we looked at each other and we thought, okay, here's a teaching moment. So we started talking to her about how, you know, we don't, you know, focus on people's skin color and, you know, you shouldn't call someone Brownie. And she's looking at us like she doesn't know what we're talking about. And so then finally she said to us, why I call this doll Brownie because his hair's brown. And then she showed us her little white doll with yellow hair, and she said, I call this doll Blondie because her hair is yellow. And then, you know, we looked at each other like, oh my goodness, we just threw out this big minefield to this child who had no idea and had no interest in what color the doll was, just the hair. And then, you know, then we had to go on and just explain, okay, well, we understand that it was not about the skin, but it was about the hair. But then we said, but still, you can't differentiate people based on skin color and, you know, point out skin color when giving names and things.
How old is the little girl?
She was seven. And, you know, and she has African-American children in her school. But, you know, I just felt like we bumbled that and made such a mess of it, and all we were trying to do was show her how not to differentiate between people based on their skin color, and it's not what she was doing at all. And it's just, it's such a minefield, and now that critical race theory has been thrown in on top of that, it's like I just feel like I don't want to, you know, I don't want to talk about it at all for fear of saying something wrong, totally unintentionally.
But we're at the point now where we no longer have that luxury, I'm afraid, Catherine. If we don't talk about it, there are plenty of other people who are going to, and they're going to have their way even more than they already have with our society if people are unwilling or unable to talk about it. So believe me, this isn't the critical race theory show. This is not a topic that I enjoy talking about, but it's a problem. And we try to examine problems in light of Jesus and in light of his gospel and look at what are some ways that we can respond to these moments in our lifetime, this being one of them. So as unpleasant as the topic may be, it still requires, as you know, requires that discussion. I feel sad for this little girl of yours. This is your daughter or granddaughter? I forgot what you said.
She's our granddaughter.
Granddaughter, okay. Now, do you have any sense of whether she's going to go to a public school or a Catholic school, or will she be homeschooled?
I think her parents are going to do everything they can to keep her in her current school, which is a private Catholic school. And but they're going to have their sixth child in November, so I don't know how long they can keep their children in that school. The school's very generous with its financial aid, but, you know, they are.
The reason I ask, excuse my interruption. The reason I ask is because she's one of the lucky ones who will be less likely to feel the full brunt of the critical race theory brainwashing in schools. So many other children, they don't have that luxury of being able to avoid it. So I'm happy to hear that maybe she will be able to avoid it. But one thing is good about what you described is that you were, in a way, kind of inoculating her a little bit. And the more it goes, the older she gets, and I would say this in general for parents in general, just as your children get older, keep inoculating them against this kind of thing. Teach them why racism is wrong so that when they encounter this form of racism that's masquerading as anti-racism, they'll understand why that's wrong as well. So you have my...
Thank you.
Yeah. You have my full support, Catherine, in your efforts as grandma to help her with that. And please pass along my well wishes to your son and daughter-in-law or daughter and son-in-law about the impending birth of their new baby. That's wonderful. We need more families to show that witness. Thank you, Catherine. Let's go now to Keith in Chicago. Hi, Keith.
Yes, hi, Patrick. Hopefully my thoughts come out here more eloquently than I think they will. They sound really good in my head. I think this whole critical race theory is it's like an affront against Christendom and Western civilization again. And I think that the reason it's so pushed is whoever the puppet masters are at the top that are pushing this, I think they want to see it as a way to discredit white people, because for centuries, for millennia, Europe has been the center of Christendom, of the bastion of the Catholic faith and Christianity. Mm-hmm. And with that flows a lot of blessings as far as freedom and all the good things that we all know about. And I think that the more that they can demonize us and discredit us and disassemble just the values of Christianity and Christendom and divide us, the more they get their way, which is control.
Divide and conquer is, of course, what we're seeing here. Let me play devil's advocate, Keith. When you talk about the blessings and freedom that flow from this, somebody on the other side would say, well, only for white people. Those blessings and freedom did not accrue to black people, for example. They were exploited in the form of slavery, which was widespread, certainly here in the United States. So how would you respond to that claim? It's actually not so much a claim. It's pointing out a real facet of history. There's no denying the fact that black people who were brought here from Africa were not sharing in those blessings for the most part. They were not sharing in that freedom for the most part. And that's a reality. There's no way to pretend that that didn't exist, nor should we pretend. But that has to be part of the discussion as well. And what would you say to those people who bring that up to say, well, it was blessings for some, but not for all. It was freedom for some, but not for all. What would your response be?
Well, I guess I would say, to what degree were those men who are persecuting these people, were they really following their Christian faith? You can't take the sins of a man who claims to be Christian and broad brush that that's what Christianity is. I think mm-hmm. we've seen with any of the saints that blessings flow from a true following of Christianity. And it's the fact that this poor group of people have been enslaved and even post-slavery taken advantage of it's terrible, but I don't think that is what Christianity stands for. And I think that they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
You're right about that. It's not what Christianity stands for. We're faced with this strange and yet true reality in our history that there were any number of those who were slaveholders, or they were in some way involved in the slave trade, or they benefited from it, who tried to justify it by quoting the Bible. In fact, I'm sure you've heard of the Southern Baptist Convention. There's a smaller group of Baptists, which are the American Baptists, and it was at the time of the Civil War that the Baptist church, so to speak, basically fractured, because the Southern Baptists initially, they don't anymore, obviously, but initially they were okay with slavery. And many of the Southern Baptist ministers were endorsing slavery on a religious or biblical basis. And so the American Baptist wing broke away from that because they were, for the most part, abolitionists, and they did not agree with that. So it's a convoluted and very, it's not an easy discussion to have, which is one reason why I'm so grateful that we have this long form radio show with no guests and no interviews. It's just you and me, so we can talk about things at length like this. Anyway,
I guess I feel mm-hmm. I'm just one more guy. I guess I feel for the people who are falling for it all, this whole hook, line, and sinker, because to a large degree, I feel like they're being taken advantage of again. obviously there have been bad Christians that have enslaved people and done all kinds of horrendous things in the name of Christianity. But once again, what are they following the teachings of Christ? And I think anybody would say no.
Right.
And I think that the same people, I honestly feel the same people that have been taken advantage of in the past are actually maybe going down a road where they're going to get taken advantage of again. And I think that's
one thing
concern.
Is for sure. That's an important point you're making there. They're being used. They are being used as tools, as pawns, in my view, because the people who are promoting this radical indoctrination, they want people to stay up in arms. They want them to be in tension, in conflict. They want them to be angry. And the more enraged they can get people to be, the more they can control them. So this, it seems to me, at least as a political phenomenon, a social phenomenon, is about control. And they understand very carefully how you can control large groups of people who can do your bidding, even though they don't realize that they're doing your bidding, but they can be used that way. And that is another dimension of all this, Keith, the further exploitation of people by way of controlling them. Thank you, Keith. Very insightful. I hope you'll call me back again. I enjoyed speaking to you. Let's go. Let's see. Yeah, we have time to go to some more phone calls. Let's go now to, Mike in Roswell, Georgia. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Patrick. When I was first listening in, I'm driving back up from Tybee Island, listening in, had one thought I'd like to weigh in on, but I listened to the other Mike. I think there's a big disconnect to the whole kind of conversation overall in terms of, well, this is reverse racism and things like that. And to Mike's point, this is not about what some fringe bigot on this website or that website or out there to be condemned, but this is happening in corporations. This is happening in government operations where we have management that is introducing this into a organization that's creating, in my opinion, a hostile work environment. It's not just bigots saying bigoted stuff. It's companies in pushing it onto their employees. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the big difference. It's like, why aren't we talking about like what the white bad white people are doing? That's not the point. The other point is,
well,
we're the lawyers.
Hang on, pause for a second. Okay. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. I don't want to disagree with you if I can avoid it. What do you mean it's not the point? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I think that we are getting caught up in the conversation of, well, this is reverse racism and this is not good and we should have, this is illegal. This should not be tolerated. And I think that's the point that needs to be made, and we're the lawyers.
You're right. It is illegal, but notice that it is being propagated at the highest levels of our government. It's being propagated by the federal government, by this administration. So
agreed.
Legal schmeagle might be the way they would look at it, and they're reading the law in a different way to allow for this. But anyway, okay, I just wanted to make sure I had clarity on that point you made. Go ahead.
And understand your point, but where are the legal organizations that are suing and pushing this up through the judiciary up to the Supreme Court and having them decide?
I haven't seen any of that yet.
Yeah, so that's my question is, where is that? I'm kind of interested because I was driving up listening. I'm not Catholic. I'm Jewish, actually. And I've been called bad things. I don't hold any bad ill will towards it. I look at
it's good to hear.
Opportunity when I talk to people to get them to know me, and I'm a normal human being. Share ideas, get to know each
other. Like we're doing right now.
I've never really thought about like, oh, you did this to me, or that's bad, or you called me a kike. No, see myself as I was in the Navy. Saw myself as this might be the one person that some people might meet that's Jewish. I was an ambassador. I represented myself with dignity and honor, and this might be the first Jewish people that they meet. I'm going to give them the best impression that they can. And
so how do you, and I really appreciate all that, Mike. And by the way, everyone is welcome on this program. So Jewish, Catholic, atheist, what have you, everyone's welcome. I hope you are, I hope you feel welcome here, and I hope you'll keep listening.
Oh, 100%.
But,
100%.
Good. Well, let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask this of you in the voice of, well, I'll ask it to you in my voice. How do you react to the critical race theory people who say, Mike, okay, great, thanks for your service, but you're white, therefore you are inescapably a white supremacist and you are inescapably racist, which is the core of the critical race theory. How do you react to that when you're honorable service or you're being an upstanding citizen or you're seeking to help other people, whatever the ways are that you're an awesome person, whatever those ways may be, none of that matters really because of the color of your skin, and you are deemed to be inherently and inescapably, ineluctably racist, no matter what you say or do. How do you react to that?
I reject it. I resent it. If somebody were to say that to me, I'm not going to engage in this conversation. This is disgusting. What you're doing is just despicable.
Yeah.
There is, by the way, critical race theory is not truth. It's just a theory. It's a theory written by academics. How is theory integrated into, you know, law and what we're doing and how we run organizations? It's not truth. It's just theory.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lie.
You and I know that. You and I know that, but the teachers union doesn't know that. And the chiefs of staff of the armed forces who are pushing this now on our men and women in uniform, they don't know that. Or if they do know it, Mike, they're afraid to admit it because they know that the mob will come for them and they will be deplatformed or silenced or fired, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I have a 13-year-old. It's not a world I want to live out. I can't say to somebody who is just angry and wants me to suffer because of actual or perceived, you know, sins, there is no response. It's mm-hmm. There is none. It's the problem is when it gets to that level in organizations, when they are forcing it down you and you're fearful of speaking up because of your job loss.
Mm-hmm. We're at that point now, if you ask me, Mike. We're there now. So I'm glad that you and I can stand shoulder to shoulder. I hope you'll keep listening, Mike. I have a standing invitation to call me anytime. Thank you. I'll be right back. Plenty more to talk about, so please stay right there. I'll be right back. The programming you hear throughout the day on the Relevant Radio Network is sponsored in part by Christendom College. More info at getprinciples.com. We thank them for supporting Relevant Radio.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
What is this?
Twilight Zone. Per request.
Not by me.
No, not by you.
I didn't order that.
You didn't. No, that's true.
All right. Okay.
Well, we're in the Twilight Zone here. It fits. Does it feel like we're in the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, at times it does. It's true. All right. Well, I'll give that one a pass. Let's go back to the phones. Mary in Pennsylvania. Thanks for calling in today.
Oh, hi, Patrick.
Hi.
Hi. So I have a young adult daughter, mm-hmm. and she grew up to be really good. And mm-hmm. she excelled in school. She's a role model for everybody. Mm-hmm. We're really very proud of her. She's a good person.
What happened?
But we found out that she was planning to move in with her boyfriend right after she finishes school. And so we tried to confront her, but she didn't want to talk. And so my husband and I, and then, you know, like, we got upset and we started yelling. Mm-hmm. And she didn't speak. So to make the story short, she ended up moving out sooner than she planned. She got everything planned because she's 20.
Okay. Okay, is there more to it, Mary? Is there more to the issue here?
No, we were totally surprised. We were totally surprised because she was very obedient. She never complained about anything. She never asked for anything. So we were really in shock. Mm-hmm. And so she ended up moving in with her boyfriend sooner. So I, at first, my initial reaction is to just let her go and let her, you know, realize what she's done and just wait for her to come back. Hope, right. You know, hope and pray that she'll realize what she did. But I think I'm going to die not seeing her.
All right. I understand. And your mother's heart is breaking because you love your daughter so much and she just is making some very bad decisions and your heart breaks for her because you want her to be happy, right?
Yeah.
I totally understand. I completely understand. And I could also understand why you and your husband, not knowing what else to do, you know, you got agitated. It's understandable. So let me offer you a few thoughts. Number one, she's 20 years old and you can't control her. And I would encourage you and her husband, don't try to control her. The more you try to do that, the worse it's going to get. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is counterintuitive. Counterintuitive. You need to hang on loosely. And what I mean by that is maintain the lines of communication with her. Love her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't shout at her. Don't tell her. You know, in other words, my advice would be stop telling her what to do. And let mm-hmm. her go down this road.
Mm-hmm.
And my thinking is that in due time, she's going to come to her senses. Now, there's a great example of this in the story of the prodigal son. I'm sure you know this story. Jesus talks about the son who says to his parents or his father, he says, hey, I want my share of the inheritance and I'm out of here. Now, the father, we're not told really what he says in that conversation. All we know is that the son storms off, takes his money, he's disrespectful to his father, doesn't mind his father, and he goes off and he lives a crazy lifestyle. So he too went into sexual sin, the son, as Jesus describes it, you know, cavorting with prostitutes, etc. So he winds up living behind a dumpster and he's broke and he realizes that this is rock bottom. And what happens? He decides to come back to the house of his father, and the father, as you know, welcomes him with open arms. So my advice to you, Mary, and your husband would be ask the Lord to bring your daughter back to you when the time is right.
Okay.
And be patient and be hopeful. Pray. Don't stop praying for her.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hang on loosely and don't try to control her, the more you try that, the worse it will get. I know this by seeing it mm-hmm. from experience, and I've just seen it in other people as well. Give her time. Give her freedom to make these mistakes. Not that we want her to. I mean, obviously don't want her to make these mistakes, but let her have her freedom to do this. And eventually, because you and your husband have been good parents, and she mm-hmm. knows deep down that you love her and you care about her, eventually, especially when she becomes disillusioned with this guy, mm-hmm. and she will. She'll become disillusioned in due time. When that happens, she will remember you. And if you have an open, happy, loving relationship with her, it makes it that much easier for her to turn back in your direction.
Okay. So what she has two younger brothers. They're very young. They're mm-hmm. in high school and middle school. I don't know what to tell them.
Tell them. Just be right up front with them, Mary. Just say, listen, we love your sister. You love your sister. We would do anything to help her, but she won't let us help her, and she's doing something that's self-destructive. It's, you know, ultimately it's going to be bad for her, and we wish we could save her from it, but she won't listen to us right now. So I hope you guys, saying this to your sons, I hope that you will learn from this and not make
and
the same
what about,
kind of mistake.
Yeah. What about her boyfriend? Because before this, he was very welcome in our home, and, you know, so.
Well, that changes. Actions have consequences, you know. Hey, Jim, you know, you're now living with our daughter against our wishes, so you've just changed the relationship. You know, you brought that on yourself.
Okay, to, that tell our daughter that he's not welcome there. And
well, I mean, it doesn't sound like they're that interested in coming to your house, right?
Okay.
I mean, they're pulling away from you. This is one of those things, Mary, where all the human dynamics that are involved are hard. It's hard for me to know any of those things. But just at a general level, I think if you can keep things friendly with her and loving, I mean, not that you're going to compromise or change your mind or anything, but just ease up on the pressure. And that will probably surprise her. And she'll start wondering, why are my parents not doing this anymore? Why are they no longer trying to get me to stop doing what I'm doing? And then eventually, as time goes on, it will, I think, most of the time it happens this way, it will start to resolve itself when she grows disillusioned with this guy. And of course, he's getting everything he wants. There's no real benefit to her. He's just using her. And once she figures that out, it'll become easier for her, I think, to turn back in the right direction. And lastly, I'll just leave you with this. Pray the rosary. I'm sure you already do, but just to encourage you, pray the rosary for her every day. Ask Our Lady to walk with her and guide her and help her turn back around when the time comes, and she will. She'll help you. She's your namesake, after all, right? So pray to her. Let's go to Maria now. And thank you, Mary. I appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Maria in South Orange, New Jersey. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
I'm calling. Good. I'm almost embarrassed to ask you the question that I called to ask you because mm-hmm. of all of this. I've been listening all this time that I've been on hold mm-hmm. to all of this talk about racism and critical race theory. Can I just make a quick comment before I get to my question?
Sure.
Something that the other lady that called before about her 7-year-old granddaughter, it just reminded me of when my oldest daughter was in first grade, and this was more than 30 years ago. She was talking about a little girl in her class, and I wasn't sure exactly who she was talking about. So to clarify, I asked her if this little girl happened to be black. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, again, this was first grade, she goes to me, black? She's not black. She's brown. She's the color of chocolate. And mm-hmm. I just thought that was so funny because we really never talked about black or white. We never really discussed it. And then I said to her, I know, but we call people with that skin color, we call them black, and people who are our color, we call them white. And she goes to me, white? We are not white. We're beige. So I've always remembered that, like, from the mouths of babes, like, mm-hmm. if you don't, I think that a lot of prejudice and racism is necessarily taught by mm-hmm. people's actions and their words. But anyway, the reason for my call is that last week or the week before, I heard someone on one of the shows, I don't remember which one it was, talking about St. Joseph and saying that St. Joseph was a widower who had children. Mm-hmm. And when in the Bible it says that, about Jesus' siblings, that those were Joseph's children from his previous marriage, but that Jesus was the only child of Mary, but that St. Joseph had previous children.
Okay, so we're short on time, so I'll dissect that. That was a theory that was brought up in the early church by a few people, but it was not the majority view among the church fathers. The majority view among the church fathers was that St. Joseph himself was also a perpetual virgin and that he wasn't married with children, a widower with children. That's a theory that was brought forward, and it's a possibility, but it doesn't enjoy the sort of the quasi-unanimity of opinion among the church fathers. So the church does not say one way or the other. It was a way to try to reconcile those passages in the Gospels that refer to the brothers of the Lord. So for example, in Matthew chapter 13, James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude are mentioned as the brothers of the Lord. And indeed, two of those four men, James and Joseph, were actually the sons of another Mary, the wife of Clopas or Cleophas. And she was present at the foot of the cross in John chapter 19, alongside the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Mary Magdalene and St. John. So these two of the four who are called the brothers of the Lord, they were not the sons of Mary. They were perhaps close relatives. We're not exactly sure. But the term brother was used, and for some people, they're trying to reconcile that and say, well, these may have been like legally siblings of Jesus, but not the sons of Mary because she was a perpetual virgin. So that's where that came from. That was the provenance of that theory. But it's I personally go along with the church fathers who say that St. Joseph was a perpetual virgin, and he perfectly, in a human sense, he perfectly safeguarded not only the Holy Family, but also Our Lady's chastity by his own chastity. Mm-hmm.
But he was, and he, would you say he was a widower?
No, I'm saying that I hold the view that I believe is the majority view among the church fathers that he was not a widower because he was never married to anyone before Our Lady. I did a talk on this for Relevant Radio, naturally, back in March on the feast day of St. Joseph. So if you go back to the Relevant Radio app, you should be able to find it there, and I do talk about that topic. Thank you. I'll be right back with Hour 3 right after this.
Tell one other person about it. It's such a great way to evangelize.
The Relevant Radio app, your Catholic everything app.
Get live radio, podcasts, news, prayers. It's free.
The continuously updated Relevant Radio app. It's in your app store.